61. The Psalms are songs, and they're songs designed to praise God, give us strength. There's a lot of instruction in these Psalms also, but it's always a blessing. I always like to go to the Psalms, my favorite book in the Bible. Very comforting. David really identifies with us and all the trials that he went through. We'll read just a few verses, and let's begin in verse 1, Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. You ever get overwhelmed? God says, call out. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. God has been a shelter. The last verse of that psalm, after some more instruction there, says, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. He's been a shelter, and we can call on him, and then we can sing praises to his name because he does answer us. And we'll see that as we go through the message. I'm sure if you've been saved for any length of time, like 5 minutes, you've experienced this in your life, where God has enveloped you in his love. He's given you his comfort, his grace. He's met your need. He's helped you through difficult situations. He is there for us. So when we cry out to God, God hears and answers our prayers. That's a blessing. It's not just a religious duty. It's a relationship with the Lord. Father, bless your word now. Meet every need here today, God. I pray that there would be strength given where strength is needed, comfort, all the different attributes. Lord, help us, please. Bless us now as we preach and as we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. A shelter is that which covers or defends from injury or annoyance. Somebody once said, any port in a storm. You know, you're in the storm, it doesn't matter if this place is a better place to stop than the next, you just want to get into the port. Years ago, I think I've told this story before, but my wife and I were up in northern Michigan, and I was preaching up there, and we wanted to get home that night. And so we left the church after services, and it was snowing. I mean, it was really, really snowing. And we can make it, you know, we can go. And so the further we went, the more snow was coming. And by the time we got home, we turned down the road that our house was on. My hands were completely white, like my hair, and everything was white. And as I'm pulling up to the garage, I hit the garage door opener, and I didn't stop for anything. I timed it. You know, the garage door is going up, and my car just barely went in. And you know, I was so happy when I got in that garage, because that trip was so hard, you know, and it was so tense and so fearful. And then just to get in, the blood came back to my hands. It was a blessing. So it's good to find a refuge in God, not just a refuge from the storms of nature, but the storms of life. And it's always a blessing to have that. There's some songs. I just want to quote a few of these titles. Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, Let Me Hide Myself in Thee. What in the world does that mean? I mean, what does that really mean? And the old timers used to sing that. Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, Let Me Hide Myself in Thee. We're in Christ. Another song is The Lord's Our Rock, In Him We Hide, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. You ever think about that? And the verses of that song are great, but you think about that. And that goes back to our Psalm 61. He is a shelter for us. What does that mean? What does that do for us? We have, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock and shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. In John chapter 10, the Bible says, we are in the Lord's hand, and the Lord's hand is in the Father's hand, and no man is able to pluck them out of his hand. And so what does that mean? We are safe, we are secure, we are sheltered, we are loved, we are comforted by an almighty God. And to appropriate that is a real blessing when the storms come. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. There's a song entitled Haven of Rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. The song of my soul since the Lord made me whole has been the old story so blessed of Jesus will save whosoever will have a home in the haven of rest. And we can sing that, and it means something to us because we know him as our Savior. In Revelation chapter 15, obviously this is future. This hasn't happened yet. Verse 3, it says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. We're also going to sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Those are songs we're going to sing in heaven. We'll one day sing those songs of deliverance, Moses, praise the Lamb that was shed his blood for the sins of the world. But can we sing those songs now? And we've got a whole hymn book, and there's all kinds of hymn books out there. Sometimes you can make up your own song. You ever make up a song? My wife was singing a special in church one time, and she looked up from her words, and she lost her place. And there was a gentleman out here who was a member of the church, and he was watching her sing, and she made up these words. He was singing with her, not out loud, but he was going. And then when she went off in her own words, he went just like that, you know? But you can make up your own words to songs about the Lord, amen? And sometimes those are better than the ones in the hymn book. But one day we'll sing songs in heaven, but we can sing songs now, and it's so profitable. In verse 3 of our text, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy, verse 8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever. Thou hast been a shelter, so will I sing praise. It evokes praise. It causes us to thank God for his goodness. When I pulled into that garage, I said, praise God. That's what I said. And I didn't have to say praise God, but I just felt like saying it. He got me home from the storm. There's been storms in life. We have them all the time. And we praise God because he is our shelter in that time of storm. Psalm 31:20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. It says, from the pride of man, thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. There's a lot of strife and division out there, and the Lord wants the unity of the Spirit, and so we can fellowship with him and enjoy his kindness to us. It's called his secret, one preacher wrote, partly because the greatest part of the world are strangers to God and his presence. There's a song, I forget who wrote it now, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Was that Fanny Crosby? It might have been. Sweet Hour of Prayer. And sometimes it's hard to get sweet 5 minutes of prayer. But there are people that love to pray. They enter into the presence of God. And they feel that warmth and they feel that strength and that love and that concern. And it gets them through so many things. Psalm 27:5, the hiding place of his tabernacle. Psalm 61:4, the hiding place of his wings. Psalm 91:1, the hiding place of his shadow. I mean, you could go on and on and on. The Bible is filled with this because we are in Christ. Christ is in us. Amen? And the Holy Spirit ministers to us. There's another song, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Great, great verse. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone, still support and comfort me now. Think of that, because we've sung that here. And when you sing these songs, these are our prayers. So I cry unto the Lord, and then he shelters us. He delivers us from the power of the enemy. And he ministers to us, and so it causes us to sing more. The rest of the verse is, all my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. You know Psalm 23? You probably do. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And somebody just walked in and I forgot where I was. But anyway, he what? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of mine enemies, he prepares a table before us. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And then the last verse is so precious. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And when you're in a deep trial and you read Psalm 23, it just pops. It just jumps out. And that word is spirit, and that word is life. Jesus said that in John 6. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So it does something to us because we have Christ in us. And the word is magnifying that. And it's just a blessing to our soul. Who's this enemy? It's the devil. He's the enemy of our souls. In Matthew 13, there's a parable of the tares and the wheat. And the wheat is growing up, but the enemy comes in and sows tares, false fruit, negative, among the wheat, among the positive. And it says in verse 28, he said unto them, an enemy hath done that. That's the devil, and he does that. And so here we are in church, God's blessings, amen. We're thinking of God's blessings. And what does the devil plan in your mind? Some trial, some irritation, some frustration, something that's going on. And it takes our mind away from the goodness of God. And so when we sing the song, have you ever done this? Have you ever sung a hymn and you're not paying any attention to what you're singing, but your mind is somewhere else? Nobody's ever done that, huh? Either that or you won't admit it, right? And so we're singing. You ever listening to a message or even reading the Psalms, reading something, and you get through the whole Psalm and then you go, man, what did I read? You know? Because the devil likes to do that. He likes to take those thoughts that shelter us, that encourage us, that strengthen us. He takes them away. Psalm 61:3, thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. In 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And we think of Bob today. Bob is enjoying the presence of God right now in a way that we don't understand. We will one day when we're there. Then we'll know even as we are known. And then we'll see. Our faith will be sight. But he is enjoying heaven. I mean, how could you not enjoy heaven? In his presence, God's presence, is fullness of joy. That is the believer's hope. Amen? And we see that. But God ministers to us here. But the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Revelation 21:4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We have in Psalm 64:1, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. Do you know that death is fear? People fear death. And that's human nature, isn't it? But what God tries to show us is absent from the body is present with the Lord. And there's a fullness of joy there. Let me find the verse. Hebrews 2:14-15. Jesus died for our sins. And it says, through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So Jesus rose from the grave. That's why Easter's so important. That's why the resurrection is so important. Because Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. He rose victorious over it. So he destroyed the power of death. And it says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. He's the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in him will live again one day. And that's a blessing. We have 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Let's get back to the songs. I want to get back to the songs. But that's enough to sing about. Amen? When you think about that. My mom's in heaven. My dad's in heaven. My older brother's in heaven. I've got a lot of friends that are in heaven. And one day I'm going to be in heaven because I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And so there's that longing. Paul said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, but it's more needful for me right now to do the work of God here. But I mean, I don't want to go today. Amen. But I know when it comes my time that there will be a peace. Amen? And we can have that peace about our loved ones too, because we know where they're at. In Psalm 40 and verse 2, He hath brought me up also out of a horrible pit, God did. Out of the miry clay set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Now, listen to what this says, because this ought to be true. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. He, God, hath put a new song in my mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So He changed our heart. Amen. He gave us a new heart. He saved us, and we have a lot to sing about. And again, it's not just praising God. This helps us. But He gave us a new song. Revelation 21:5. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. That's future. I make all things new. Isaiah 66:22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, that's future. So we have a promise ahead. But what about now? That's the sweet by and by. This is the nasty now and now, right? So in the world you have tribulation, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But I mean, we go through struggles. All of us, everybody, Christian, non-Christian, whatever it is, young, old, this country, another country, everybody. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And so we all struggle with these things. But what does God do for us now? Ezekiel 18:31. Make you a new heart and a new spirit. That's now. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, but behold, all things are become new. That's now. I put a new song in thy mouth, even praise unto our God. That's now. God does that for us now. In Psalm 96, verse 1, Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all ye earth. Verse 13, Before the Lord, for He cometh. For He cometh. Sing a song now, but one day God is coming. And what do they call that? They call it the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we have that to look forward to. But right now, sing praises. We ought to be singing. Amen? Singing praises to God, because He is certainly worthy of our praise. Psalm 77, verse 6. Well, let me just say this. We're to praise Him all the time. And there's a verse that talks about songs in the night. And Paul and Silas, in Acts chapter 16, they sang praises at midnight, hands and feet in stocks. They were beaten. They thought they were going to die in the morning. And it says in Acts 16, at midnight they sang praises to God. I met a guy one time who was in jail for something he didn't do. He didn't wipe his fingerprints off the safe. And so he was in jail. But Paul and Silas, why were they in prison? They were in prison because they were doing the work of God. Amen. I guess it depends why you're in prison if you can sing. But they were singing because even though it was dark, there was a lot to praise God for. And we see what happened in that. There's a great story behind that. Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Lamentations 3:23, mercies are new every morning. So we have a very difficult day, a trying day. God is our shelter. He holds us. He ministers to us. He loves us. He strengthens us. He comforts us, all of that. But then the day goes on, and pretty soon you experience the mercies of God, and they are just so wonderful. They're new every morning. It says in 1 Samuel 16, remember King Saul, and in chapter 13 and chapter 15, I think it is, of 1 Samuel, he starts to go away from God. And there's a verse there. This is why this is so important. This principle is all through the scriptures. It came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. It's time to sing a new song, because that strengthens our hearts. Yeah, it praises God. But if you quote the Bible, When you're going through a trial, that's what Jesus did on the Mount of Temptation. It is written, it is written, it is written, then the devil leaveth him. So if we could just get in our minds, okay, when I am tried and tested, I'm going to quote the scripture. Or, well, when I'm down, can we not sing? Amen? Say, well, I don't feel like singing. It's dark. I'm in a prison. I'm in this trial. Sing and see what God does. Amen? If we step out in faith, God can do so many things. In Joshua chapter 1, God said, when Joshua was getting ready to go into the promised land, lead the children of Israel in there, as I was with Moses, so shall I also be with thee. And the Israelites shouted before the walls of Jericho fell. They stepped into the Jordan before the waters parted. They sang before there was deliverance in so many ways. And it all preempts the working of God. Amen? I'm down. Sing. I'm tested. Quote the scripture. Amen? I'm this. Pray. And you can see how that strengthens you. Such a blessing. The song was before the deliverance. We sorrow not as others that have no hope, because we're rejoicing in hope. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Don't we say what we believe? Amen? I believe, therefore have I spoken. Could we say, I believe, therefore have I sung? Maybe there's a favorite song, you know, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And then it goes on. And we quote those verses, we sing those verses to God, because that's what the Psalms are. They're prayers put in music, and they're lifted up to Almighty God. And God delivers like that. He does such a great work. Think of all the songs about salvation. Think of all the songs about heaven. All the songs about comfort. How great thou art when we all get to heaven. Think about that. Remember the story of the Shunammite woman back in 2 Kings chapter 4? And her little boy had an accident and he died. And she took this little boy and she took him to the man of God. And as she's approaching with this little boy in her arms, the man of God sends his servant out and says this to him. Say unto this woman, unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. There's a song that was written because of that. And it's entitled, It Is Well. And I want to read you the background of this. Because we all go through something. And God so wants to meet that need. Heartbreak gives birth to great songs. Love lost, loved ones missed, and even tragedies elicit the emotions that can best be expressed in the medium of music. These songs move listeners and stir up memories, bringing about feelings of nostalgia or melancholy, that sort of sadness that leaves us feeling better. But how often do we encounter a song of worship and gratitude that was inspired by heartbreak? The classic hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, is just such a song. Here's the background. Horatio Spafford, this back in the 1800s, was a successful lawyer and a real estate investor in Chicago. He and his wife, Anna, had one son and four daughters and lived a life of philanthropy, service in their church until 1871, that is. In that year, they lost their four-year-old son to scarlet fever. And a few months later, the Great Chicago Fire wiped out the majority of their property holdings. They made it through the next 2 years until, in 1873, tragedy struck again. The Spaffords had planned to visit Europe as a family, but business kept Horatio behind. On the voyage, the ship Anna and their four daughters were traveling on struck another vessel and sank rapidly. Only Anna survived and sent a hauntingly brief telegram to Horatio, bearing the words, saved alone. One can only imagine Spafford's grief upon receiving the news. It must have been paralyzing. But on his own voyage to meet Anna, as the ship neared the place where his daughters had drowned, he was inspired to write the lyrics to the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. Unlike many heartbreak songs, it focuses less on what was lost and more on where hope can be found. No doubt Spafford was shattered by the loss of his daughters, but his heart turned to the faithfulness of God in the midst of loss and the work of Jesus to rescue sinners. The hymn does not diminish or gloss over pain and tragedy, but rather proclaims that God is present in them and greater than them. We all go through something, and here's a song, "It Is Well With My Soul." That's a good song to sing. They're all good songs. In Romans 12:15, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep." Amen? We identify with people. 1 Corinthians 12:26, "And whether one member suffer in the church, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." One day, we are all going to rejoice together because there will be nothing to be sad about. One day, there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, amen, no more sin. There will be nothing to be sad about. All we will do is rejoice. We're going to sing a lot in heaven, amen. I said, boy, that's going to be boring. I don't think it's going to be boring if you read and study about heaven. We praise God, and I want to bring the memory of Bob back into this. We praise God for Bob. Boy, we could go a long time with our testimonies, with how God touched our lives. But one day, think of this, we will praise God with Bob. We're going to praise God with Bob. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing? And I just want to leave us with that, because these were Bob's favorite songs that we're going to sing. They meant something to him. He was such a precious soul. Amen? And we'll honor him by singing those songs. It's going to be a good day. Amen? It's going to be a strengthening day. We're so grateful for his family being here today, and you're in our prayers for sure. We want you to know that. But let's bow our heads and close our eyes and thank God for his goodness. Father, bless Lynn, Bo, Sheila today, all the family. Minister to them, Lord. May they find shelter. May they find safety in you. I pray that you just put your arms around them and hold them close and reassure them of where their loved one is today. I pray for our church, and we truly pray one for another. We rejoice with those that rejoice, but we weep also with those that weep. But we know joy comes in the morning. And I pray, Father, that you would bless this message and help everyone that needs it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please.